How will this be? How will this be? He did, he has, and he will. He did, he has, and he will. We'll come back to that right at the end. Just wanted to plant that seed right now. And the scripture readings we've heard just in the last few minutes from Luke, chapters 1 and 2. You heard what was captured within just a few words, the life-changing events of just a small group of people. Four central characters in the lead-up to Jesus' birth: Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph, each with their own responses. Some had questions, and then there's a fifth character, or characters, if you like, in the shepherds. Let's start with Zechariah. Let's look at each one of these folk and a summary of their responses. Zechariah had gone off to work in the temple. That was his job. He was a priest. He was elderly. His job was to keep the fire burning for the incense in the Lord's temple. And then an angel appears right there where Zechariah is working. But let's back up a sec. We know Zechariah had been praying for a child. So there's a surprise on the way. Scripture says Zechariah is gripped with fear, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid, your prayers have been heard. You're going to have a baby, and he'll be a joy and a delight." Do you think Zechariah was feeling it? "How can I be sure of this? We're old." Or something like that, I'm sure. So because of his unbelief, he needed to learn what now in New Zealand is an official language, sign language, for the next 6 months until John was born, at which point he spoke again and worshipped God. I guess you could say he had about 9 months to get his heart right again. And then there's Elizabeth, the second character. Elderly, like her husband, but a very different response to the situation than him. How do we know? Elizabeth isolated her. She secluded herself, but not out of shame or embarrassment, which may be our initial thought, but out of sheer gratitude to God for the gift of the child. Now, she had her question too. When Mary greeted her, and we'll recall what she said. "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" But it wasn't unbelief. She had already said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has shown his favor." She was simply thankful to God for this gift. And then there's our third character, Joseph. There's not a lot of detail in Luke about Joseph in the lead up to Jesus' birth, so we needed to consult Matthew's gospel. He's a very young man, pledged in marriage to Mary already, and the commitment from the time of pledging, as we know, was far greater than the modern engagement equivalent. And in traditional Jewish pre-marriage, there was to be no, well, I don't need to say anything more. You can use your imagination there, what I'm getting at. So imagine Joseph's surprise at the news. Mary is pregnant. His emotional roller coaster is at full speed now. But note his response in Matthew chapter 1. He considered. That means he kind of pondered this. He contemplated it. And he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about Mary. And Scripture says because he is a righteous man, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. And then he does what blokes do in stressful situations. He takes a nap. Then the angel appears to him, telling Joseph, "It's all good, because what is conceived from Mary is from the Holy Spirit, and you are to call the baby Jesus." So that emotional roller coaster I referred to is kind of on its second lap now. Joseph now finds himself center stage in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He has no and does not question. He just accepts what he needs to do. And now Mary. Mary had a question following the visit by the angel Gabriel and being told she was to give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God. Obviously in shock and puzzled, Mary asked, "How will this be?" since I am a virgin?" This was a question of wonder, not of unbelief, as she was grappling with how such an amazing thing could actually take place. And the angel answered, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing is impossible with God." And note Mary's response in the scriptures, with childlike faith and wonder as she responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then a few verses later, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." These are not the words of someone who's doubting. These are the words of someone who has every confidence in God. Every confidence in someone who's just accepted God's word. Even though a broken engagement and neighborhood gossip were a very real possibility, it would take decades for people to believe her story. Then there's the fifth character, actually characters, the shepherds. When the angel made the announcement, what I'd like us to note is what was initially fear in the shepherds turns into excitement as they hurry off to Bethlehem, as Scripture says. Now, Luke doesn't give us a very dramatic picture of the moments the shepherd make their postnatal visit. Do you like that I used that term? This is what you get from living with a midwife. Postnatal visit. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, just like they'd been told in the field. So you'd be forgiven for thinking, "Luke, come on, man. After all of that drama in the field, just give us a little bit more detail about what's going on there." But, you know, Luke's account, for me, gives us the most picturesque of all of the Gospels. He gives us everything we need. So I want to cycle back slightly and attempt to capture what must have been going on in the hearts of those shepherds. We have the benefit of having all of the story, but here's what I've reflected on. If that was any one of us standing in that field under the night sky, being told by the angel, "I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. Today a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." What would our response have been? What would our response have been? You know, we don't need to question that or how or if he did. Today we can celebrate that he did. He did send his son. You know, I still remember vividly when Mum and Dad bought my very first bike. It didn't matter to me that it was a second-hand, old hand-me-down bike from a cousin of mine. I didn't ask how, what, or if. I remember standing on the back doorstep of 130 Colgan Street, which is where Mum and Dad still live, by the way, thinking, "Whoa, that's for me? That's for me?" I just accepted gratefully that gift was all mine. Not my brother's or my sister's, but that was my bike. That was my bike. You see, what the shepherds experienced in that sense of wonder and excitement once they got past that initial fear was a whoa moment, just like it was for me when I saw that bike. It's like, whoa! And that's what I want us to catch this morning. That's what I want us to catch this morning, and that's what should excite us about Christmas and what Christmas is all about. That's what should stir our hearts and ought to allow ourselves a moment to pause and consider and reflect and stir our hearts to worship. Remember what I said about the shepherds? What was initially fear turned into excitement. These guys became the first New Testament evangelists. You ever thought about that? Good news of great joy for all people, for all humanity. A cosmic promise, if you like. Good news for every human being on the planet. But good news that many are yet to know. Many are warm to, but many are averse to as well. Christopher Hitchens is a name that some of you will be familiar with, who was a world-renowned, devout atheist. He made the statement when asked about belief in God. He said, "No evidence or argument has yet been presented which would change my mind. Exceptional claims demand exceptional evidence." One wonders what he did on Christmas Day. "We have seen his glory," John wrote, "the glory of the one and only Son. The Gospels are evidence of Christ's coming to us." The Gospels are evidence of Christ's coming to us. So we can be grateful for the gift given us in the person of Jesus. The Christmas story can, for all of us this morning, be more than a story. Because for the group of people we've talked about briefly this morning, these were life-changing events. The Christmas story and the truth of Christmas can be something that's real and living amongst us today. We can bring it to life by talking about it, sharing the story, particularly as we realize and capture the enormity and the sacrifice and the gift of Jesus. And just accept it. Just accept that he gave this gift for us. These folk we've talked about this morning, just ordinary people, just like us, they had their questions. Some of unbelief, others simply trusting, and maybe we here this morning bring our own questions. Maybe we bring our own questions. And we will have our own way of responding, just like the five do. Today, though, perhaps we can catch something of Mary's wonder and worship. Because while for her there were questions, there is no question. Jesus came as a babe into Bethlehem as Savior of the world. And the story we call the Good News doesn't end there, though. Because Jesus came, lived, died for our sin, and rose again. He is and can be our Savior today. So let me encourage you, we don't need to doubt. To the question of how will this be? The answer I give you confidently is he did. He has, and he will. May our response be one of belief and thankfulness in giving God glory. He is the Messiah, the baby born to save us all. I'm just going to watch a short video now, and then we'll come and conclude our service.